episode of Cell TV. Hey, look, I'm not a big fan of doing a nutritional testing for allergies, food sensitivities. Why? Because so many of them are inaccurate. I think there's some truth to the severe allergies, but what if there's a way to test yourself? It's definitely cheaper, maybe more accurate. But anyways, this guest on Cell TV is going to tell you how you can do that, how you can test yourself. I think it's pretty interesting, the method. And obviously she's been doing this for quite some time. Also, we're going to go upstream. Her and I both believe that the body has an ability to heal itself. And we're going to talk about some of these things that you may not have heard of that could be interfering with your body healing itself. One of which we dive in deeply to some of the emotional stuff. What's in your subconscious? Could some of your early childhood traumas that you don't even remember be stopping you from healing or even causing your symptoms or disease? The answer is yes, but wait till you see her take on it and even her method of what to do about it. Well, you're going to have to stay tuned to this episode of Cell TV.
Be hearing about the mind-body-soul connection, and our guest today is Elena Bensonoff, who is a pioneer in the field of functional and energy medicine, who has been sharing her gift of healing for over 20 years. She founded Holistic.com and is the author of the book Holistic Wisdom. Elena is a clinical pharmacist and has an award-winning natural skincare line as well. You can read more about her in our show notes. So let's get started and welcome Dr. Pompa and Elena Bensonoff to the show. Welcome, both of you.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being here, Elena. I'm looking forward to this topic because you and I resonate on something together, and that's the fact that our bodies are ultimately the physicians. They have the ability to heal themselves. And, you know, my wife and I live our lives this way, remove the interference, the body can heal. And that's how I got myself well, right? But I think you have some unique strategy here that I want to hear about. You've written in a book, you've dedicated your life to. Well, but before we get into all that, you got to tell me your story. I mean, how did you get into all this?
Well, thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of your show and share my story. How did I begin? So, of course, as a little girl growing up in Soviet Union, I always had a vision and a dream that I wanted to heal and all of the people that I loved around me. And I wanted my loved ones to live forever. So that was a dream that began when I was 4 years old. And then I moved to the United States and I decided to pursue medical career, not really knowing that that was probably not what I wanted to do. And I began as a pharmacist. We moved to Florida about 20 years ago and I actually became sick. I lived in a house. At that time, I didn't realize it was infested with mold.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then also I did not have the realization at that moment that also diet played a huge role and stress in what was happening to me. So what was happening is I could not breathe. I actually ended up having to find a pulmonologist because I could not only not inhale, I couldn't exhale. And I remember going to a pulmonologist and he said, we have to check you into the hospitals. Your lung function is less than 25% capacity. And at that time I had my oldest son, I have four children, and he also was suffering from severe eczema and allergies.
Hmm. Same house. He was in the same house. Yeah. How old was he, did you say, in that moment?
Baby. I mean, infant. Yeah. He was covered in eczema from head to toe.
Yeah.
And I remember he was on prednisone. Anyway, the pulmonologist told me that I would have to be, I said, I didn't want to go to the hospital. He said, okay, well, you'll get injections and all kinds of nebulizer treatments, but you'll have to be on six medications for the rest of your life. And I was in my early 20s. And I remember thinking, this is definitely not the life I want to live. So I sort of, that was the beginning of my journey in understanding how our environment and what I ate, right, and how I actually influenced what was happening to me and my son. And of course, I got myself all off of all of the medications, and I've been asthma free for, gosh, over 17 years now.
Yeah. Yeah. I've watched, I've seen mold ruin a lot of lives. You know, it's an evil thing. I hate mold. I hate mold illness, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you, mold illness, even once people get out of the exposure and even do my cellular detox and get it out of their body, they're still left with damage neurologically, immune, their immune systems. So you've obviously tapped into some really amazing things because you look very healthy. It sounds like you're very healthy now, and your son is too. So, you know, I always want to know. I want to know everything Eddie Bourbon did, and so do my viewers and listeners. We want to know everything you did.
So I changed my diet. The first thing like I cut out the gluten. I never really ate sugar, but I did eat a lot of fruit. I always thought fruit was like important to eat, and I was consuming a lot of fruit. So definitely I still eat fruit. I would eat berries, but not in the amounts that I used to eat. So sugar, dairy, all the baked goods are definitely contributing to an imbalance in our gut, right? And overall health. And then over the years, what I found working with many people is a lot of people who are vegans. I find this is a huge issue, is a lot of vegans have gut imbalances, have overgrowth of candida and fungus in their system. So there's so many correlations that I began to put together. But the other thing that happened is I began to study functional medicine 12 years ago. And at the same time, I worked in a diabetes clinic. And I remember having patients that were on 17 medications a day.
Yeah.
But even at that point, I thought, how can you take 17 medications a day? And I remember having to make calls to some of these people and ask them if there's anything that they're doing to change their lifestyle, right? Their diet. And they said that their doctor told them it was not correlated in any way. So they didn't think it was important. And that was a huge light bulb for me that something had to be done. And so that was the beginning of my greater journey, which brought me to where I am today.
So what are some of the other things that you did that are most likely in your book? And admittedly, I didn't read your book. I know you sent it to me and I didn't get it yet. So I did not get it yet. So I saw the cover because it was shown to me. I'm looking around like, okay, I said that, but I've been gone for 2 weeks. So it could have showed up in my 2 week travels. But anyways, don't worry, we will find it. So, I want to be honest, but I am actually curious. So in your book, hold your book up just so everyone can see it. Yeah, there it is.
So my book, I break it down into three parts. You know, the first part is the body, right? Because you know, it's really, I felt it's really important for people to understand and have the right tools to really heal themselves and not just rely on a lab test, which are not always accurate, right?
Yeah.
And rely on what other people are telling you.
Right.
So there's ways that I teach to tap into your own innate intelligence, which every human being has.
And it's really, we're going to talk about that, but go ahead. What's the next section?
Yeah. So the first part is the body. I teach people how to themselves with food sensitivities. And in less than 1 minute from reading this, you'll be able to find out if you have a food sensitivity to something or not.
We want to know that. So, all right. What else?
That's important because it causes inflammation in the body. I talk about adrenal fatigue. Mm-hmm. And the importance of supporting adrenals, right? I talk about detoxification on a physical level, right? Cellular level.
Yeah.
And then diet, like what foods are important to integrate as organic and which ones are not so important. What ingredients are toxic to our system because our skin is the largest organ. So it's important what we also apply in our skin topically. Part two of the book is the mind and emotions, right? So being emotionally clear. And then I teach people how to find out what emotions are out of balance. Also, in less than a minute, you can find out what emotion is blocked for you. Because emotional imbalance is the root cause of every disease. And this is what I discovered, right, later on. And how to also clear yourself from toxic people in your life. That's also important. Create boundaries.
Yeah. God, that's huge. Yeah. Huge.
Right. And part three of the book is all about the soul, right? The different energetic doorways, as I call them, right? The soul doorways that you can tap into and see what is out of balance, because all of those have correlations to our physical existence, to our emotions. So it's important to become, I would say, an investigator in your own life, in your own health, in your own well-being, and recognize that our higher self, or our self, our bigger self, has a way of communicating to us in such powerful ways, of course, through emotions, but a lot of times we can block them and not listen. And then the messages become louder in the form of physical symptoms.
Mm-hmm. I love teaching people practical things, and your book will go into much greater detail. And about where can they get the book? Is it on Amazon?
Amazon is Kindle version, and holistic.com has the hard copy.
Okay, right. And what's your website so they can get it there?
Yes, holistic.com, okay, W-H-O.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you said it. Okay, so let's give them something practical here. Let's start with the first part. I mean, how can people test themselves for food allergies? And, tapping into that inner wisdom, right? So, walk us through that.
So there's definitely something that I teach it has to do with, there's a difference between food allergies and food sensitivities, right?
Very true.
Not an allergic response. It's something that could happen 24 to 48 hours later, and sometimes even longer. Like solanine, the protein, for example, in nightshades, people will have a response, a week later a lot of times. So I break it down into 12 different food groups, food sensitivities. And I teach people how to muscle test themselves.
Show me.
Okay, here we go. So there's different techniques. So let's say first it's about centering yourself, right? So inhale, exhale.
Be descriptive, because many people don't watch this. They listen, they download the podcast. So be descriptive.
Definitely. So first it's very important to be centered, because we don't want to have chaos in our mind, okay? Now, in the book, there's a chart. Okay, it looks like a wheel. I'm going to show it to you. It's a wheel that basically, when you look at it, right, it's important to not look at the second page of the book. So in this wheel, there is a way that you can test and find out what things you're sensitive to. So one of the things you can do first is you need to figure out what your yes and your no is. Have you ever heard before?
I have, but not exactly the way you're going to do it, but my audience perhaps hasn't. So
yes, first thing to do is to get centered. Number two is not put any judgments on what you're doing. So first we're going to create two O shapes with our fingers, right? And we're going to loop them together and create like an infinity sign, mm-hmm. or figure eight. Okay, now you're going to say, my name is, and I'm going to say my name. So my name is Elena, and try to pull your fingers apart, and my fingers stay strong. So that's a yes. Now I'm going to say someone else's name. So let's say my name is Susan, which is not my name. So my name is Susan, and my fingers come apart. So that's a no. So that's a weakness. It's showing a weakness in the body. So here's the thing. We're actually testing our subconscious mind. This is
your subconscious, yes.
So we're bypassing all the filters that we've created, right? All the judgments, and we're going directly into what our body has to say. So
you find that like people that have trouble with it, like myself, or like we're too stuck in our conscious minds?
Yes.
Yeah, I know that to be true. Okay, go ahead.
So the thing with this kind of testing, it's important to also practice it and clear yourself before you do it, right? And not judge yourself. So, and it's incredible how accurate it is. This is something I've come up with over the last few years, teaching it to other people, because I feel that it's important that people know what's happening in their body, right? So then there is this pie, and it shows 12 numbers. So the thing to remember is we're going to ask a question, okay? We're going to ask a question and say, I'm weak on, okay? And then looking at the pie, you can say, I'm weak on one. And for me, number one, my fingers are locked together. It says, yes, I'm actually weak on number one. Then I'll say I'm weak on number two, and my fingers come apart. So that's no. So going through this entire pie, entire wheel, then I refer to a chart next to it. And for me, number one came up, and it says, number one is albumin, which is a protein in eggs. And it's interesting because years ago I was sensitive to eggs, but now it's something that needs to be avoided for me as well.
Now, can you go in and out of some of these sensitivities? Meaning, you know, you may have tested months ago and it's like it didn't test, right? But now for whatever reason, it could be a stress, a chemical stress, or just a change in your microbiome or a seasonal change. Now you are.
Yes.
That's one of the benefits of being able to do this, because you can't afford to run an expensive test, which, as the point is, I'm not a big fan of food allergy testing because it's so inaccurate.
Yes.
So, you know, this may be a better way.
So. Yes. And absolutely. You know, our gut biome, microbiome changes depending on, of
changes
course, stress
rapidly,
level, right?
So yeah.
Rapidly. Mm-hmm. You know, even probiotics that people take, you know, what I've noticed over the years, a certain probiotic might be working somewhat for someone for a few months and then it doesn't anymore.
Yeah.
So this is a way to tap into your own knowing, right? And create a lifestyle that is supporting your overall well-being.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, let's you know, we both agree. I just got back from filming some things at Hope for Cancer, an amazing cancer clinic. They have some of the most amazing around the world. Some of these clinics, and they're doing great work. You know, I have to say, a big theme when you talk to these people is they all have had a lot of emotional traumas, these cancer patients, right? So to your point earlier is, you know, we know that the emotional stuff, it's kind of the hidden stressor. The body doesn't know the difference of physical, chemical, or emotional stressors. On this show, we talk a lot about chemical stressors. We don't talk a lot about emotional traumas, but you and I would agree the body doesn't know the difference. So, you know, arguably it could be the bigger hidden cause of just about anything. So talk about that. Like, what do you talk about in your book? And then talk about some of the tests that they can do for themselves to look at them here. How do we analyze ourselves? Because that it's more hidden than anything, right? I can see, yeah, I eat eggs, I get a stomach ache, but gosh, I don't know. Do I have emotional stuff?
Yes. So at first, you know, diving into the world of what I do now, I always thought it is physical and chemical things. And only later on, it was revealed to me, because some people were not healing, even though I was providing, you know, the services and I was giving them all these different things to take and changing their lifestyle, their diet, they were still sick. Mm. Or the viruses, let's say Epstein-Barr would come back and I would be like, okay, why is it coming back?
And
what I realized is, we have to approach every human being from a holistic, whole approach, because our body is not separate from our mind, from our emotions, or our soul. Everything is interconnected. So the way that I see this is our higher self is communicating to our physical body through very powerful messages that are called emotions and feelings. When we choose to ignore them, or I call it park them in a short-term parking garage, let's just say, what happens is, are the symptoms or the communication signals are becoming stronger in a way physical symptoms, right? And then if we choose to ignore that, for example, anxiety could be one of the things that people could experience, right? So what would happen if we choose to ignore that over time, people will get an illness or some kind of massive physical imbalance. And a lot of times this is when people are seeking for help. And I usually say that your illness is your greatest gift, because you can create a massive shift by recognizing really what you have been doing up until that point. But my vision and my mission is to help people not get to that point. So to really become friends with your emotions, right? Allow them to flow through you. So usually the way it happens over the years, what I've noticed is there is an event or situation that happens. And it gets stored in our cellular memory as a very specific emotional block, right? And over the years, we get triggers with different events and situations and people in our life. And it's really meant for us to awaken us to a realization that there's something in that needs healing within ourselves. And I'll give you an example. So for example, I have a patient that I've been working for a while, she has Epstein-Barr virus. And I have actually a few Epstein-Barr viruses, which are chronic, part of chronic fatigue viruses. And she has not been able to clear it over the last 5-6 months. And I wanted to know why. So we had to go deep into her emotion. And for her, it had to do actually with abandonment. And I said, okay, what does abandonment mean to you? And actually what was interesting, she was left at the hospital when she was born for a month and a half. Her mom didn't want to see her. And then her grandparents were the ones that raised her. So she was never close to her biological mother and father. So that imprint in her field that left that emotion of abandonment, which was such a strong trigger in her life, because every relationship since then that she had, it would bring out the Epstein-Barr.
Makes sense. You know, I know that you've been endorsed by Bruce Lipton, Dux Lipton, who I love. Yeah. He wrote the book Biology of Belief. And basically, the book is our thoughts, right? Whether for good or for bad, really control our DNA. It can literally turn on bad genes. It could turn off good genes, right? So good thoughts are very powerful in healing. And this is science. It sounds, you know, oftentimes hokey to people, but no. I mean, Bruce Lipton is an amazing stem cell biologist. I mean, he's an amazing cellular biologist. And, you know, he talks about, you know, why our physiology is controlled by our thoughts, you know, and it can be controlled by chemicals as well, but our thoughts drive it. So, you know, to your point, okay, this has been, it's programmed in this abandonment. And, you know, here we have an anchor in our subconscious, right? I mean, typically we wouldn't go, man, I'm just so upset that I was abandoned for a month and a half in the hospital. I mean, it's not even in our conscious mind, but in our conscious, in our subconscious, it's communicating that, right? Yes. So, and then that can manifest in our DNA, and then our DNA starts to tell our cells to make certain proteins. Those proteins become who we are. So here we are, 40 years old, whenever you start manifesting symptoms, and you're like, gosh, I'm sick. This is happening. You know, could it be the fact that it's this trauma that changed our DNA, that changes who we are? How do we reprogram that?
Yes. So the way that I teach people, first of all, I cannot heal their emotions.
Right.
It's important to embrace that emotion within yourself and try to view it as your navigation system into healing yourself.
Okay.
So I would say to people, journal as much as you can. Let's go into this very particular emotion, see how it makes you feel. If you have a memory, right? A lot of times people can be regressed. I don't do regressions, but there are people that do regressions into your infancy, into your 1 to 3 year old stage where perhaps we don't have the memory, right?
Right.
You know, the conscious memory of it.
Yeah, but because it's recorded. That was my point. As a 1 year old, it's recorded in your subconscious.
Absolutely.
And it's still affecting your cell. So how do we change the recording? Yeah, that's the question.
But to change the recording is to really face that emotion. How does it make you feel? Embrace it, become friends with it, and recognize, and then perhaps go through your life and see what other people in your life have possibly triggered you, right? Sometimes we see people, oh, this person is not good for me, but what they're doing is actually mirroring to you what needs to be healed within. So embrace and become friends with everything that has ever happened to you in your life. And that's,
you know, it's funny because I deal a lot with people who are very chemically sensitive. And once we empty their stress bucket, you know, and I'm the expert in the chemical stuffs that we accumulate over the years, right? But obviously the stress bucket would be filled with emotional stuff too, right? So we have to empty that, right? And that's kind of what we're getting at. But what we find is, okay, great. Once we empty that bucket, but we still have these memories of it, right? And people still react to the chemical or the mold as if it, you know, they were still living in it, so to speak. We literally have to change the way they think about that exposure. Oh, yeah. That sniff of gasoline? Yeah, it used to cause me brain fog, anxiety symptoms. We only have to think, okay, this can't hurt me. Now, matter of fact, it's helping me and strengthening me. That literally works, especially once we take away the stress, right?
Yes.
That literally changed the way they think about that exposure, eventually we reprogram it. Is that the same thing that you're talking about with the emotion? If we can just change the way they think about whatever that is?
So instead of reacting, it's more embracing. Absolutely. Yeah. And actually, what you said is perfect, because I talk in my book about, you know, break down mind, body, and soul into your mind as a CEO of a company, right? And in order to run the company, the employees are the body parts, the organ system. So when the system is inflamed, the only thing the mind or the CEO could think about or do is focus on managing the employees. It cannot think about the purpose or the soul of the company, right? So in order for us to become clear, even to connect our emotions, we have to clear the stressors in our life. And those are physical things, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, especially the ones we can control, right? We can at least control those. And, you know, my cellular work helps empty the bucket from that perspective. But again, so, you know, we can change the way we think about a toxin, and we can eventually reprogram that toxin doesn't give us that response anymore. It works. I had to do it too. When I was sick, you know, all of a sudden I would get in, you know, and I would have this massive reaction to things. I'm like, I had to tell myself, I'm healthy now. This is actually helping me, you know, and eventually I reprogrammed this physiological reaction, right? But here's the problem with emotions. I can smell the chemical and go, oh, there it is. You know, but oftentimes with emotions, we don't smell it. Meaning we think it's everybody else, right? It's like this person says something, we think it's them. Meanwhile, all they were was a chemical reminding my, you know, hitting that part of my, subconscious that was triggering that emotion. And I didn't realize, you know, so, I mean, how do you deal with that? Emotions
are great. Yes. That's an amazing question. And here's the thing. This is the problem with our day and age. You know, we're so busy being busy that we don't take the time to center and be by ourselves, even if it's for 10 minutes a day. That means to silence and tune in, right? So most people turn out. They're tuning out. You know, they're in social media. They're going to just distracting themselves with noise, the noise that we create in our daily life. So the key is to turn off the noise and to go within, because our body has an ability to reveal to us where the blocks are, including emotional blocks.
So, I mean, you're talking about meditation, which is a word that I always say I hate, because for most people, we go, yeah, we have to meditate, we have to meditate. Most people go, yeah, what does that actually mean?
And it's actually perfect what you're saying, because most people actually are doing it the wrong way. And meditation is not necessarily turning off to escape. And this is what I'm finding most people are doing wrong.
I agree, yeah.
It's actually tuning in to listen. Tuning in to listen and allow your body, use your body as a guide to allow you to feel where in your body do you have a block. And this is something I also teach in my book. So it can come up. So if you ask your body and you silence and you relax your muscles, right? You could be sitting down, laying down, and you ask, how do I feel, right? We always ask other people, how do you feel? How often do we ask ourselves, how am I doing? How am I feeling? The body will reveal where there is tension. And that tension, it's really about releasing the tension, right? Whether it's in our chest, in our throat, wherever it is, there is a way to connect to it and let it go.
What if you had an event that day? Like an emotional event with your child, spouse, random person, you sit down. Okay, I'm gonna meditate, if you will, on that event. Is it good to do that? Is it good to think about the event and ask yourself, instead of asking yourself, how do I feel? Why did I react the way I did in that moment?
Yes.
And then wait and just hear. Is that a good thing to do?
So yes. First, it's very important to ground yourself, to feel your body, your system, right? Because a lot of times we're so disconnected, we're an autopilot of constantly reacting to things. Mm-hmm. So it's important to give yourself, yes, time and space to feel you first, to know this is me and this is not me, right? And then ask yourself a question. Absolutely. And be honest.
All right. So what's I'm the person listening to this going, all right, I know I have some emotional stuff. You know, why? Because I have some physical things I don't like. I have some emotional responses I don't like. Okay, so Where do I search, you know, first? I know the recording in my subconscious, but I just don't know what it is. And maybe there's something that's hidden. How do I find it?
Perhaps recognize, for example, most of us have been programmed to react and think and have belief systems from the time we were little children.
Right, true.
Ooh, am I reacting like my dad? Ooh, maybe I sound like my dad. Or maybe I sound like my mother, who sounds very angry, right? And judgmental. So try to understand what rules and belief systems are truly yours, and perhaps those that are not you. And those are the things that really we're here to learn, to unlearn, to let go.
You're right. Areas in our life, they're emotional. For whatever reason, right? I think we oftentimes, the starting place is examining our premises around those areas, right? Meaning our beliefs, right? So, because you often find, if I'm very emotional about something, dig for the belief. And it typically goes back to childhood before age five sometimes, you know, where it's like, oh my gosh, I believe that. And that belief, some weird belief, false belief that we really believed was true, is creating that problem. And typically we develop bad premises around the areas of our life we're trying to protect, which is typically around the areas we need to heal. So look at these areas. So, I mean, is there any more advice in that area?
Yeah, I mean, the first step is to become aware. I think that is the awakening that happens, is to become aware and honest with yourself.
What's
and
the day,
not judge yourself.
What's the day of Elena look like? You get up.
Gosh, I have four kids, but they're getting older now. My day in the morning, I always begin my day with gratitude. I go absolutely in my heart and love, and I go into appreciation of this planet, for myself and what I do, for my family, my loved ones. This is the most important step for me, number one in the morning, and then drinking glass of water, going to the gym.
Ah, sounds like you intermittent fast because you didn't eat anything so far.
Well, that's, yeah, I go to the gym and then I'll have my breakfast with my kids, and then I begin my day, so.
And then the kids start, oh, well, how old are your kids?
Yeah, they're older. My oldest is 20. I have three boys and a girl, 18-year-old, 15, and 14.
Yeah, so we're about the same ages because I have four boys and a girl, 22, 20, 18, 15. So, you know, very similar. So life's getting easier. So some of them are moving on now. So
Exactly.
It's easier now. You just had our different phases, but all right. So obviously we know your diets, right? We know your exercise. Do you do any fasting? Because you follow my work.
I mean, normally I don't, I try not to eat after 5 o'clock, between five and then the next day, I usually have breakfast around 9:30.
You ever do any longer extended fast, whether it be partial, water, or whatever? Because that's another way that I have found I tap in. I mean, it really forces you to focus, because when you take eating away, magic happens.
I would say I've tried so many different things, and I feel that it's always, we have to always trust and listen to our body. My body guides me into what I feel is the best. So I don't usually have same things every day. You know, I try to see what does my body feel like today? And I trust the messages that it's giving me.
That's smart. Well, you mentioned something earlier in your book, and it's probably the hardest thing and one of the most destructive things. You said detoxing people out of your life, because, you know, one of my areas, I would say one of my biggest areas when people ask me, you know, what's led to success, is really surrounding myself with people that, yes, positive, but world changers. You know, I love changing lives. I do. If my wife will tell you, if I'm not changing a life or think I'm changing someone's life or make a difference, I get absolutely beside myself, right? It's like, I want to fix everybody and everything, which it was a problem earlier in my life because I thought I could fix everybody and everything. But now I know I can't, you know, but the point is, though, is I've learned to put myself around other people who just, you know, have a desire to make a difference, change the world, people who are doing things that I love to do. And it's led to success. And I teach my children the same thing. You know, if you want to be successful, hang around successful people. If you want to be miserable, hang around around miserable people, you will not lead them to happiness. Yes. they will pull you down in misery. So anyways, you know, how do we get rid of these people is the point.
I mean, for me, this is something I also had to learn over the years, because I'm a giver and a rescuer. I just over the years wanted to rescue everybody.
Guilty,
yes.
Guilty, yes.
Yes, all the time. And I recognized that if I keep rescuing everybody, I'm going down.
Yeah.
And I'm crashing and collapsing, and that was not working. So for me, my number one rule is I connect and surround myself with people who are authentic, who are in their hearts, who are inspiring me. I get up and I just cannot wait to hear their voice. And sometimes it's across the globe. You know, I have friends who are in Germany, who are in Switzerland, wherever they are, but they inspire me to be my best. Yeah. And also it's a sort of like love connection. I feel absolute love for these people. Mm-hmm. And we're so respectful of each other's space, and we're so supportive of each other. And to me, the most inspiring thing is the authenticity of being unapologetically in their hearts, in my heart and in their hearts. And that's really...
That's a beautiful thing, you know, and I think we found the same thing in our life, you know, both being very similar. You know, we thought we could help everyone, wanted to help everyone. Didn't work out. You know, but I almost have to have rules around these things to protect myself, right? And, you know, meaning that, you know, you can't let those people too close, right? You want to help certain people, but there's a certain distance. And you have to have rules, and you know, to where they're going to be in your life. Your inner circle, you have to be really careful with, because they're the ones.
And for me, it's also priorities, right? Like for me, it's my children are number one, right? Mm-hmm. My family is the most important thing, and then the people that are part of that circle, I would say they're like my family too, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's very few that I would say that are these beautiful, amazing human beings that are just radiating love.
Yeah.
And that's really all that I seek and I want in my life. So anything that is not love, I definitely is not for me.
We started this whole conversation talking about, you know, really the body's innate ability, meaning inborn ability to heal itself, right? And if we remove the interferences, the body finds that healing. You know, it's called homeostasis, meaning very healthy people have this balance. You know, what are some of the other areas that perhaps we didn't hit on that really throw the body out of homeostasis? And if you're out of homeostasis, you're developing disease, right? To get healthy again, we have to bring homeostasis. And the only thing that can really do that is the body. There's no drug that does that. And there's a time and a place for anything. But ultimately, the body has to find that balance. You know, what are some other things that help do that? And what are some things that we haven't talked about that interfere with that?
Gosh, there's so many. Many things. So over the years, I also kind of began a new practice where I transitioned from working with people one-on-one in my private practice into long-distance work. And this is, I would say, new and emerging field. I feel this is the field of the future, where medicine is going, and it's really working on human energy field. And there's several ways to create an imbalance. So let's say... there's ways to interfere with it on a physical level, as we know, right? Chemicals, toxins, viruses, bacteria. And then there is a second way of entry, and that is on a soul gate level. And what's interesting is over the years, I've had people pose a question to me about how can something interfere from a soul gate level? And it might seem a little out there, but I want to bring it to people's attention.
Yeah, but just so people know, the energy is how every bit of things in our body, every cell, you know, saying. So we're understanding energy a lot more today without sounding, you know, too hokey. Energy really is critical. So that's kind of what you're talking about here. So go ahead.
And we're talking about morphogenetic field or morphic field, right? Something that Rupert Sheldrake has done tremendous amount of research. So this morphic field, it contains of every human being, right? Contains information of events, situations, viruses, bacteria. So it sort of think of a cloud, right? If we're a computer, there's a cloud, right, that's connected to it that stores all this information. And at some point, there is going to be an accumulation and imbalances in that cloud. So we need to really, over time, recognize and clear it out of that cloud so everything begins to sink in and flow. So, for example, today I have a client. She is an anesthesiologist, and she was just recently diagnosed with breast cancer. And she wanted to see me, somebody that I've known over the years. And I said, well, I no longer do the work that I did in person, but you're welcome to work with me through distance. Anyway, she said, I don't feel myself. And I thought that was interesting because she said, it's not physical, it's something else. I feel like I'm surrounded by darkness. And I found it fascinating that she was able to pinpoint it. So I actually, what I do is I read human energy field, and I went into her field, and she actually has dark energy that is ruling more than 50% of her being. And that's the gate of interference that I'm talking about on a soul level. So I told her we have to cut it out of her field. And this is a whole other topic that we can talk about, but it's also important to know there are interferences that can enter your field without you knowing it and without you recognizing it.
Well, look, I'm a Christian, right? So I come from that. And, you know, yes. I get it. I mean, there are dark and evil forces out there that are always trying to affect us in certain ways. Now, I think I think most people watching this would agree with that. Maybe not everybody, but we love them anyway. So, but, you know, I think where more of the confusion or people would go, okay, now you went beyond me. You know, how do you sense this, right? In other words, how do you read this? You said you have clients that are distant, right? So you're reading their energy force. Describe that. What does that mean, right? And how do you do it? And how does it help the person?
Yes. So there's several steps to it. First of all, I want to briefly say, how do we acquire? How does something negative enter a field, right? There's many different ways. Number one, if you lower your vibration from love to something else, right? So what does that mean? If you're stuck in negative emotions and constant negative thoughts, you're lowering your vibration. When you lower your vibration, of course, drinking, overindulging in drugs such as alcohol, there's so many different things to do. Lowers your vibration, it creates holes in your own field of information, and things can enter you. And then you don't know if it's you or not you.
So how do you pick that up, though? I mean, because I get that, right? I mean, you know, it's all of those things you mentioned. I mean, look, you're in someone's presence. You can tell those people, right? You can tell that they're more stuck in a negative state. With the look on their face, they wear it. But you have a distant client. You're sensing something else.
I'll need a photo. So it's the same thing that radio signals work, or the same way that cell phones work, right? Or the way we're speaking at the moment. How are we tapping into each other instantaneously, right? And we're seeing each other, right? And the sound travels so quickly. So it's the same way. I just photo and a name, and it takes me about 5 hours to read their field. And it reveals everything about them, including if the meridians are flowing, right? Miracle meridians, other meridians, the biofield of the person, what emotions are blocked on a physical level, all the way to their cellular level, to DNA level. So there's a lot of information that we have that we store. I believe it's the future of where things are going. And I also believe that in the future, we'll be able to tap into those things ourselves.
Well, and they've developed machines, right? We can look at people's auras, right? And look for physical problems based on these things and emotional things. So, you know, we can see that energy better with devices. You're saying, you know, you've learned to tap into that. I can't even imagine what, you know, what that is, because, you know, it's maybe a gift, right? And I don't have it. I can't spell very well either.
We all so, have it. That's the thing, is we all
okay,
have
all right, it. Okay. But anyways, so I have to ask this question.
Yes.
So you get somebody and you read that, and it doesn't look good. I mean, how do you say that to the person? And then what do you do?
Well, first of all, I don't ever deliver negative things. If I see, dark things, I usually say they get a report and I'll say, these are the things that I'm responsible for. I can cut it out of your field. But then your emotional state, your diet, everything else that you do, you're responsible for. So it's sort of like, there's research that have been done. I don't know, you've read books of Dr. Bruce Lipton, Joe Dispenza talks about this nocebo effect, right? There's actually much greater. It's not a placebo, nocebo. There's something much greater.
I love both of those books, yeah.
Exactly. So it's really, it's where they perform surgeries. Have you read the study where they did the surgery? Okay,
our viewers we're talking about.
Okay, excellent. So it's the same kind of thing. You can, as a person, let's say you had an injury, massive injury, right? Let's say you had a massive accident in your spine, like Joe Dispenza had an accident, right? And what did he do? He actually went online and he printed, or he was envisioning his spine healing for 3 months until he healed himself.
Yeah.
So there's actually a way that you can realign the field with the person, so information begins to flow, so then the person can begin the healing, okay? So it's a two-part, I would say, process where a practitioner, I can send the energy to the person and be very specific where I'm sending it to, and the other part is the person has to do the work also. I can actually give you an example. My son, my 18-year-old, who is extremely physical and active, had an accident on February 24th, and I recorded a video with him interviewing him about it, and he tore his meniscus. He went to see an orthopedic. He needed surgery because that's the only way you can fix it. And I said, you know what, let's try something else. And he went and we did one treatment of stem cells and my sessions, and he's running now.
Yeah, by the way, that's how I fixed my meniscus. I didn't have surgery. I did stem cells and...
How many treatments did you have?
On my medial meniscus, one treatment fixed it. Then I had another one on the posterior lateral. Because it was a different injury.
Yeah. I would say that there's so many different ways of working and healing, right? Each person. And it's recognizing that everything works as a whole. It's not separate, right? And yes, we do need medicine. It's amazing, right? For acute things. But chronic conditions, there's things that we have to reshape the way we're thinking about chronic illness and mystery.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And by the way, Joe Dispenza's book, You Are the Placebo. And what was his other one? There's the second one.
Yes.
I'm drawing a blank too. I was looking to you to help me. Anyway, but it's a great book. And his first one, You Are the Placebo, tells that story that you were telling. How he healed himself with that. And I mean, that's the power.
Yes. What he did is he actually healed his own field.
Yeah.
And to heal that, you have to really be extremely specific. You have to
science all over it. And Joe talks about the science as well as Bruce Lipton. So Bruce Lipton's book, who endorsed you, was The Biology of Belief. And then Joe Dispenza, You Are the Placebo. Read both, folks. It sounds hokey, but what we're saying, there is an absolute science around how our brain has the ability to change literally your DNA and therefore the proteins your cells make. And that's changing who you are. Literally,
that's right.
You are proteins that your DNA makes, and our thoughts can control that. So today, you sit here or listen to this, the person who you are is who you thought yourself to be.
Exactly.
I tell my children that all the time. It's a remarkable thought. Scary.
We're the manifestation of everything we imagine, everything we think and feel.
So therefore, you better be careful who you let in your life, because when we look at who influences who we are, it's the people, the five people around you. I teach that to my kids, right? There's the saying, you show me the five closest people in your life, I'll show you your life, right? It's like,
right. That's right.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Because people go, okay, how do I change my thoughts? We just gave it to you, folks. Change those five close people around you. And as those people change, so too will your DNA, so too will your proteins, and so too will your hormones, so too who you become.
Yes.
So you are what you believe. I hate to say it. Yeah, you know, my kids think I'm a nutcase when I say that because they know me as this very scientific leader. And when I say those things, you know, they look at me, you know, they respect and love me enough where they don't say it, but I know they look at me and go, let's talk about the other thing.
You know, what's amazing, and this is what I'm finding, is we are actually on the verge of having a different type of humanity. I'm noticing that with my children. They're born knowing, feeling in a way that I don't ever remember feeling that way until I was much older, or recognizing and being aware. They're born aware and conscious.
Gosh, my 15-year-old is so aware. He's so conscious. He's so like intuitive in a way that I could never imagine. You know, listen, the brain is amazing. And it's, what social media and all these things are doing, you know, the brain's compensating, figuring this out, doing stuff. It kids today, I tell you, it is. It's a really different generation. And we have to be careful because we do not understand the way their brains work.
No, but they're so beautiful. And also what I'm finding, you know, my older three of the boys, they're so aware and awakened and so heart connected. Recognizing that it is important to have the human connection versus hiding behind the phone, behind the social media posts, right? Because we are in the day and age where we can instantly connect to people across the globe, but at the same time be so disconnected. So,
So you're right. What I hear you say, it's a disconnected generation because of social media. But what's happening is their brains are maybe compensating and developing in this ability to connect much quicker. Is that like?
I feel there's a new type of humans that are being born. Perhaps not all, but new in a way that they are feeling, sensing. They're more sensitive. I don't know if you've noticed, more and more kids are also suffering from food sensitivities, from all kinds of issues. You know, we have our kids with ADD, ADHD, which I never look at as a disorder. I actually look at them as a gift.
My son, that son, the 15-year-old, he's ADDs. I mean, dyslexic. He's got all my gifts. I'm not ADD, but I am dyslexic. My wife's ADD. So he got the dyslexia and ADD, and it's come together.
And guess what? Nuts. He's actually more sensitive. And he can tell you if he enters the room, if something is right or if something feels good or not, right?
He reads it. He reads people. You know, I look to him, you know, and he'll That's be like, right. You know.
But those kids are our gifts. They're our gifts, and they are guiding our humanity to a whole other level of awareness.
Interesting. Well, let's end on that positive note. Hold up your book again. I want you to promote it. There you go. It's funny, folks. I joked in the beginning because I said, "Oh my gosh!" You know, you look at people's book covers, right? And it's done up, it's made up, it's Photoshop, the whole thing. I said, "You look exactly like your book, right?" I realized that sounds stupid. Of course she does, but no, she looks exactly today. Look at her face, her hair. That's her. That is you. It's beautiful. And you look exactly like your book. So that's awesome. So yeah, very good. Get it. And I'm sure you expand greatly on every principle that we just talked about in your book. So thanks for being on Cellular TV, Elena. It was a great message and ended on a really positive note. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. This episode was brought to you by Cyto Detox. Please check it out at buycytonow.com. We'll be back next week and every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. We truly appreciate your support. You can always find us at cellularhealing.tv, and please remember to spread the love by liking, subscribing, giving an iTunes review, and sharing the show with anyone you think may benefit from the information heard here. And as always, thanks for listening.